pushers, the environmental thugs, the certified organophobes. Here to lead you for another hour of common sense gardening, the Doctor of Dirt, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan. I got about six things going on here. My computer decided to play music on its own for some reason, so I'll get that turned off in a little bit. We've got a winner on the contest. Apparently, they put a message in on Instagram. I'll double-check that when I can look at my computer without getting blasted by the music that magically came on somehow or another. And we'll tell you about what it is and how to get more information and all that kind of thing. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Merry Christmas to everybody. This is Christmas Eve, and we're delighted that some of you can take time to be with us. Arnold's been holding a while, and I want to go ahead and have him in Dallas next up. Hello, Arnold.
Good morning, sir, and a Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, sir.
Thank you. Just a quick question. I see one of our weather people is saying tonight's going to drop to 29 degrees in Dallas. And then we're going to have some decent temperatures next week and then dropping down again. My agave came back with a vengeance and really survived that last frost we had after I cut the dead parts off. But this time I'm asking you, are we supposed to cover those things up again this year, or the foxtails and that kind of bushy stuff?
Well, it just depends on what you have, Arnold. Some agaves are very hardy and can take a lot lower temperatures than we're going to get tonight. The blue agave that tequila is made from is not hardy at all. It'll freeze, you know, at 32 degrees or 31 degrees or something. The other plants, it just depends on what they are. Floating row cover is the first step. If you think you've got some plants that are in danger of frost damage, the floating row cover is that white, real lightweight white spun material, and it'll give you about 4 or 5 degrees protection. And then if it's a plant like, you know, a totally tropical hibiscus or, you know, other plant like that, needs to be put in a greenhouse or in a protected area or it will freeze. A lot of plants can take lower than, you know, 33 degrees. So it just depends on...
I'm sorry, go ahead.
It just depends on what plants you have. That's all I can tell you.
Well, you hit the nail on the agave. It is a boo boy, so we're going to have to get out there and cover her up. And
yeah, the truth.
And I cut the frozen parts off last time, and he said, "Oh boy, you know we lost that." And I said, "No, she's going to come back." And it came back with a vengeance. It was just we took good care of it, and it actually is better now than it was when we first got it. So they do recover. But I really appreciate it, and I will take your advice, and I'm going out there right now, and I'm going to cover them all up.
Yeah, get some floating row cover. All the garden centers will have that material. Don't use heavy sheets or tarps or blankets or things like that. Just be sure and get the lightweight floating row cover. It's very inexpensive. Most of the garden centers will have it in stock if you don't have some.
Yeah, I got a bunch. And
okay, good.
Well, thanks so much, and a Happy New Year to you and your family, and thanks so much for everything you do and the hard work you've done so far, and keep it up.
We will do that. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Talk to you later. All right, yeah, we've got a neighbor, a friend that planted blue agave about three times, and he replaced it all three times. I finally was talking to him one day. He said, "I don't know why I didn't talk to you in the first place." And he finally got one that's a little more hardy. He didn't even realize that he was getting the true blue agave and one that's not hardy. And he finally got the right thing. So, yeah, the one that's used to make agave is not hard. It's a beautiful plant. It's really the prettiest, one of the prettiest of the agaves, I think. But it's certainly not hardy. Telephone number to be with me is 866-444-3478. Back to in Howard's garden, I started telling you I was spending some time the last couple of days cutting back perennials. There's always a little bit of a debate and conversation, at least, about whether it's important to cut perennials that have turned brown and died back or not. Some people say, heck with it, and just leave them. I've still got some that are up, and they don't look that bad, and so I haven't rushed to cut them off. One is the largest stand of inland sea oats that I have. I haven't cut them back yet. I've cut other areas of inland sea oats back at the house and other places where they were getting to look a little bit raggy. But in the big stand of the inland sea oats, they look kind of cool. They still have a little bit of seed heads. I got most of the seed off, but a little bit of seed heads on them, and the foliage is a nice golden color, and so it looks kind of cool, and I'm going to leave it a while longer. On the other hand, the lantana that had died completely back and it was just bare stems, I have cut all the way to the ground. The goldenrod was cut all the way to the ground. The ohasanta that just turns black when it gets frozen, took it all the way to the ground. The big old elephant ears, I have the alocasia, the ones where the leaves stand upright. When we had the 27 degrees, I guess, 27, 28 degrees, it just turned to mush. I cut it all the way to the ground. If you have bananas, that's the same thing that you would do. When it turns yellow and mushy, you just cut it all flush with the ground, throw some shredded tree trimmings mulch over it, and you're good to go. It'll come right back out for you in the spring. Unless you're way up north and some of these things won't perennialize, and you'll have to replant them in the spring and treat them like annuals, and you'll just have to wait and see whether they come back or not. Throughout the South, these things that I've been talking about here are totally perennial and will come back without any trouble at all. Most of the Turk's cap that I have, I'm cutting back to the ground. I like a little neater look, but you can do it either way you want to go. You can leave the Turk's cap. It'll be bare stems, and the foliage on mine looks a little ragged right now. Some of it's still green, and some of it is yellow. And so, for the most part, it looks better. The area will look better if you cut the Turk's cap back all the way to the ground. But you can do it either way. You can leave it all the way up. I've got a pink one that's, oh, gosh, taller than me. And I'm probably not going to cut it back. I'll probably leave it alone. The big yellow cestrum that I have, we've done newsletters, and I've talked about it quite a bit. It's one of the big plants that's in the backyard in total shade that blooms all summer. I will probably cut it all the way to the ground pretty soon also and let it come back. You can do it either way. If you want to leave it as large as it has grown in the summer and not cut it back at all, it's fine. Won't hurt it at all. You'll probably get very little freeze damage on the terminal growth. You might get some. But on the other hand, if you want to cut it all the way back to the ground, it'll come out from the ground and just do beautifully for you. Angel trumpets, I think I mentioned them last week. They've been cut back now all the way to the ground. The other perennials that are brown and ugly, for the most part, I've taken them all the way to the ground. Sometimes I'll chop them up into little pieces, leave them right where they're growing. In other cases, they'll go in the compost pile. You can go either way if you've got mulch and not bare soil. If there's bare soil, leave them right where the plants are and just chop them up, throw them right on the ground, and let them do their thing as a mulch. Let's see what other ones I was working on at the office. We had a company come over and work on a gate that we have, automatic gate, and it did a great job getting everything squared away and running again. But they had a pretty tall truck, and they hit a limb on one of the red oaks out in the front and busted it pretty badly and came up and you know, hat in hand and said, you know, we've messed up and broke a limb in your tree. What do you want us to do? And I said, well, it was mostly dead anyway. Let's just cut it off. And they did. I showed them where to cut it, where to leave the branch collar, the stub that should be left. And they cut it off and properly and left it for me. So pruning can be done also. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. More in Howard's Garden when I come back. 866-444-3478.
Regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the wave of the future. All the experts agree that stem cells are the future of medicine, your personal health, and even your longevity.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
For a complimentary consultation, a $200 value, call now, 800-705-6006.
Lava sand is a critical part of the Dirt Doctor's natural organic recommendations for bed prep and general soil improvement, especially for farms and ranches. American Rio is the only high-quality lava product we have seen with significant paramagnetism. Their Maverick Lava Soil Amendment will dramatically improve your soil and increase plant production. It can be delivered directly to you by one-ton tote. Call Sean at 405-426-7752. That's 405-426-7752. Or go to AmericanRio.com.
As we age, our glutathione levels drop dramatically, and that's a big deal because glutathione is our body's master antioxidant, repairing cell damage caused by environmental toxins and aging. RegActive's probiotic strain ME3 is proven to naturally stimulate and produce glutathione in the body. RegActive is from Essential Formulas, known for introducing Dr. O'Hara's fantastic probiotics to the United States 15 years ago. Dirt Doctor advice, look for RegActive at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
To begin your natural organic program and get your lawn and garden off drugs, just follow Mother Nature's guide. First, stop hurting the life in the soil. Choose only products and techniques that are beneficial to the health of organisms above and in the soil. Stop using all synthetic fertilizers, toxic pesticides, and other toxic chemicals that harm living organisms. Avoid all high nitrogen synthetic fertilizers, especially nitrogen-only products. Toxic weed and feed products are the worst of all. Next, build soil health with aeration and natural organic fertilizers and amendments. And third, use native plants and well-adapted introductions. Finally, water only as needed. The organic program will reduce the watering requirements by about 50%. MoTurf is needed and mulch clippings into the lawn to return nutrients and organic matter to the soil. The natural way is fun, will save you money, and always works better in every way. After all, Mother Nature knows best. For more information about natural organic gardening, visit dirtdoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Covering the bare soil around plants is crucial, and there are several mulch choices. The best mulch for any site is shredded recycled plant material such as limbs, leaves, twigs, dead plants, bark, spent flowers, and other plant debris that grew on the property. That's the natural way. How it is done in the forest and on the prairie. Second best would be purchased shredded native tree trimmings. Third in line is shredded hardwood bark. Pine bark and cypress are not good choices. Pine bark is just bad in general. It won't stay in place and contains chemicals that hurt plant growth. Cypress doesn't break down well. Mulch should decompose to create the true natural food to feed microbes and plant roots. Pine needles are good, but look out of place if there are no pine trees on the property. Lava gravel makes good mulch and has the extra benefit of keeping squirrels and cats out, but lava gravel has its negative points. It looks harsher than organic mulches, and it doesn't break down into humus. The best commercial mulch is a mixture of compost and shredded tree trimmings. For more information on mulch, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Howard, back with you. Well, David and I are trying to solve a mystery here. Somebody came in on Instagram and identified the plant correctly, but it's not showing up on my computer. It only shows up on our phones, but it has been identified, so I can tell you it's the shot that's the mystery photograph today that's on DirtDoctor.com is actually a shot of Logan at a young age, obviously, and it's a shot, it's a photograph out of the herb book, and she's smelling a curry plant. Curry plant is a wonderful smelling plant. And this lady made this comment. It's not for cooking. It's not the curry you cook with. It's just a curry plant that has a curry fragrance and is just a really nice fragrance plant for the garden. We also we did figure out the mystery on the computer coming to life and having a song. I had a YouTube video up of a Schipperke, the dog I was telling you about in the first hour, that black, beautiful black dog that somebody's mentioned that Nellie might have some blood. But the little Schipperke puppy is playing with a dachshund, and they've got this funny music behind the thing. And when I opened the computer and brought the power back up, it was still playing, so that mystery solved. Telephone number to be with me, it's wide open if you want to jump on here at 866-444-3478. 866-444-3478. I was telling you about this fellow, this doctor that has the video, this Dr. Zach Bush, that we've got on DirtDoctor.com now that I highly, highly recommend that you see, that one that's talking about gut health and the Roundup issue and how everything is related to the stress in people, just like the stress in plants and the whole deal. Well, Diane Baines heard me talking about it with Bob yesterday on his show, and she sent me an email, and I hadn't read the whole thing, but basically what she, I think she made a comment in there that that video is only going to be there for some period of time. They're going to take it down. They've put it up to be free for everybody. She said she's seen it three times and gets something out of it every time she sees it. So you might want to go in there pretty quickly and take a look at it whenever you have time. It's Dr. Zach Bush's lecture. He's a doctor, fairly young doctor, very impressive. He's been in school for something like 17 years, I think I heard him say. And he's got some detailed information that will really help you understand why this Roundup issue, the GMO issue, and all related toxic kinds of issues are so important to understand. It's a technical talk. He really talks fast, and it's technical, but even wading through all the really technical stuff, he just throws out at you some really simple concepts and details as well. It's kind of all mixed together. But those of you that want the really heavy-duty science that's behind some of the things that we say in this regard, he has it for you there. Dr. Zach Bush. The other one that is also worth seeing is Dr. Mercola's interview of Dr. Huebner, and it's about Roundup and gut health and all the related issues as well. Well, let's get back to Dan Howard's Garden, and we got some people calling in, but go ahead and jump on here. There's some open lines for you at 866-444-3478. Like I was saying, we had a company accidentally hit a limb of a tree and break it, and it was probably too low anyway, or it wouldn't have happened. So we took it on off. I went ahead and worked on some other pruning. If you have any dead wood, if you have some obvious limbs that are crossing and rubbing, and you know that there's some damage being caused there, get those off. There is no need in pruning trees, though, to heavily thin the trees out. A lot of people think that's good for the trees. It'll help something. I don't know what it's supposed to help, but it's only for your benefit. If you want more view through the tree or more light down to plants under the trees, it's going to help in that regard. But as far as being healthy for the tree, it's not. The tree wouldn't have the limbs if it didn't want the limbs. So a lot of the pruning, not all of it, but a lot of the pruning is for your benefit. If there's a limb in the way like we had at our house and a truck hits it, or if it's hitting your car or the driveway, or if it's blocking the view, if you want a little bit different view, if you want the plant to have a little bit different appearance or something, those are reasons to prune. But there's rarely ever a need to thin out a tree thinking that it's going to benefit the tree. It's just not going to do it. In fact, if you overdo it, it creates problems. The worst ice storm damage I've ever seen in trees are on trees that have been thinned out too much. The limbs aren't able to lean on themselves and move around naturally like they're supposed to do. And especially the limbs that are growing straight up or pretty close to straight up, when you have an ice storm, those are the ones that are in danger. Because they start bending over and they get more and more ice on them, they're the ones that'll snap and break because they don't have the good tensile strength like low limbs holding themselves up do. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Gardeners, do you want to receive the best how-to videos for everything you need to know for successful food gardens and landscapes? This video course is taught with 15 chapters of instruction and includes a detailed 25-page study booklet. It's fun, easy, and covers organic gardening, landscaping, and farming. To learn more or sign up for the course, go to dirtdoctor.com. That's dirtdoctor.com, and click on the certification course banner.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrett Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
The Medina Corporation, led by the Stuart Franke family, has been helping farmers, ranchers, landscapers, and homeowners with quality soil building products for a long time. Medina produces quality liquid and dry fertilizers and many soil amendments. Medina Soil Activator stimulates the soil biology and plant roots. And all the Medina products help all season long, whether it's landscaping, grasses, trees, herbs, or vegetables. The Medina products help you spend your money wisely, increasing production while improving the environment. All Medina products are free of toxic chemicals, including the commercial version of Garrett Juice Plus. For the proper care of your lawn and gardens, Medina is the choice. Conveniently available at many hardware, nursery, and feed stores, Medina Natural Organic Products are a Dirt Doctor recommendation. 50 years young and still environmentally friendly, it's MedinaAg.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
All righty, Howard, back with you. Telephone number is 866-444-3478. David and I still have a mystery going on. We've got this, the winner of the contest showing up on his phone on Instagram. Doesn't show up on my phone or my computer. So, but we do have a winner, and we'll try to figure out the rest of that as we go here. We'll get back to Ian Howard's garden in a minute. Here's Jonathan in Waxahachie, Texas. Hey, Jonathan.
Merry Christmas, Howard.
Merry Christmas to you, sir.
I was just wanted to give you a recommendation on what kind of cover crop to grow around fruit trees.
Well, there's a bunch of things that you could plant. What kind of fruit trees are we talking about? Different kinds?
Yes, peaches, plums, pears.
Well, let's start this way. If the fruit trees could vote for what they would like to have the most, you know what they would vote for, don't you?
What's that?
Mulch. Nothing growing at all. A layer of shredded tree trimmings. That's what horticulturally the plant would like the most. But on the other hand, a real close second would be some legume cover crops, you know, like vetches and clovers and things like that. They can be used, you know, for the cool seasons. You could still plant some of those now. It's a little late. It would have been better to have done it in the fall and have it through the winter. You might think about that for next time. In the summertime, one of the best cover, there's several different options, but one of my favorite for the summertime cover crops is buckwheat. because buckwheat can be purchased very inexpensively. The seeds, real pretty, interesting looking seed. They don't cost very much for some reason. I'm not quite sure what the deal is there. I guess they're so abundant or something. But planting them in the spring and having the flowers from them, you know, brings in beneficial insects. It looks really cool. It's not a big competition for the trees or anything. It, you know, it's not too aggressive a plant. But in all cases, I wouldn't do it up against the trunk of the tree. I do the cover crops pretty much from somewhere from halfway between the trunk and the drip line to maybe even all the way out to the drip line out, rather than have it growing in, you know, to the trunk.
Okay.
And the place where you don't have the cover crops have the shredded tree trimmings. But again, as you get to the trunk, make the mulch thinner and thinner so none of it's piled up on the flare of the trees. Whenever I see somebody's fruit tree planting and when they're having troubles especially, it's almost 100% of the time that I find that the flares are not properly exposed. So make sure you have that done.
What clovers are best for this area?
Oh, there's a ton of them. The one that I personally use the most is the lowest growing one because I don't want to have the competition and have to deal with the taller ones, arrow leaf clover and those, you know, tall kinds of clovers. And they're good. They're fine for large areas. But the low growing one is sold under a couple of different names. It's generally just sold as dwarf white clover. Sometimes it'll have some numbers with it and so forth, but it doesn't grow any taller than 5 or 6 inches. It's the one that just grows naturally in a lot of people's yards, and they think that it's a weed. In my opinion, it's prettier than the grass. So I've actually planted as a ground cover intentionally in the fall a lot of times.
Okay. I use a lot of comfrey, too, to fertilize these trees as well.
Comfrey is a great plant. It really stimulates a lot of biological activity. It's good for the compost. When people have compost piles, I always recommend that they plant some comfrey in conjunction with their compost so some of those leaves go in the compost pile. But using it just to grow near other plants, I think, is a very good thing to do. Vetch is good, too. Hairy vetch is one of the easiest plants to grow. And it's a fall, again, a cool season plant, and you plant it in the fall, but you might make a note to use some of it as well.
So it's too, it wouldn't do well in the spring to plant it in the spring?
No, the spring planting, the best one by far is buckwheat. Oh, and I didn't give you the other options. The other options would be legumes that would give you a food crop also, like summer peas or black-eyed peas or something like that. You see what I mean? Or any kind of beans. There are people in agriculture that are using some beans, and there's even some perennial beans that have been experimented with that seem to be doing really well. You know, you're going to get nitrogen fixing from them, but you're also going to produce a food crop at the same time. So those are there's other things you can do, but those are my best recommendations.
All right. Appreciate it, Howard.
Appreciate the call. Have a good one. Everybody, appreciate being with us today. And I know it's there's a lot going on here on Christmas Eve, but if you want to call me and be on the show for a bit, it's 866-444-3478. You know, my friend Bob Webster down in San Antonio, he and I agree on 99.9% of the things, but there's a few things we occasionally kind of not butt heads, but just don't totally agree on. One of them is painting cuts on live oaks and, and red oaks. He recommends it. I think he says, you know, we have such a strong possibility of oak wilt, you know, in the hill country and all. It's best just to always paint the cuts. I never do. I recommend that if people paint the cuts, they do it in the spring. That's the time where there's the most susceptibility to having the nitidulid beetle come in and spread the oak wilt disease. My argument against it would be that there seems to me to be a lot more vectors than just the nitidulid beetle moving the oak wilt thing around, and damage coming from a lot of other ways, like wind damage or hail damage or you know, whatever you're doing. But if you are concerned about it, if you're listening to me from a place where oak wilt is a definite problem, avoiding the things that help you the most are avoiding pruning in the springtime when the juices are really flowing and all of that, and the insects are getting active and moving around and doing their thing, and painting the cuts if you have to prune during that time. And if you decide to prune any time of the year, like Bob talks about, the best pruning paint, wound dressing, by far, nothing's even close to it, is called Lac Balsam. It's LACBALSAM, I think, Lac Balsam. It's the best because it breathes. It's a flexible covering. It doesn't ever harden up. It stays kind of pliable and flexible and breathes. So it's a good one. What I've also recommended in the past, and is a good thing to maybe at least consider, is to use orange shellac as the wound dressing. And the best way to do it when you paint the cuts is to paint the center of the cut, not the edge of the cut, because that's where the growth is going to take place. And there are studies out there, quite a few, that show that pruning paint actually slows down the healing of the wound, the callusing, you know, that rolling over that it does on the edge and starts to grow in and cover. You know, the natural healing process is actually slowed down by the pruning paints, the wound dressings. That's one of the reasons why I don't ever do it on cuts on my own trees. But if you agree that that's a problem, just use the wound dressing, whatever you use, in the center of the cut out to just before it would touch the cambium layer and the, you know, the edge of the bark and the edge of the cut. And let's see, what else in Howard's garden? I've been working on the bamboo area quite a bit. We've been filling in some eroded areas, and we're now irrigating and fertilizing the bamboo because we want it to get even thicker right on the edge, because it's holding up a tremendous drop-off and what had been developing into an erosion possibility for, and needing some construction, retaining walls and things like that. We've actually stopped it all and solved the problem with the bamboo and the compost that we've added to the area, and the bamboo's growing very thick in there. The only issue that I've got in that area is that the bamboo's getting thicker and taller and bigger canes. The big bay tree is getting much, much bigger. The big ginkgo that you've heard me talk about a lot, is just getting enormous. This next year, it's going to be so that it's really starting to – it's doing something interesting. I was worried about the other trees encroaching on it and keeping it back. I'd actually tried to talk my wife into letting me cut down a live oak and a couple of things to give more – space for the ginkgo. But the ginkgo's doing something interesting, and it may be the fact that I've discovered that it can grow in the shade. I've got little ginkgos that I've grown from seed or transplanted from little seedlings, growing in 100% shade all day long, just doing beautifully well. Well, the ginkgo itself, the big ginkgo tree, is encroaching into the other trees now and shading them, not being bothered by them at all, and just taking over the area. We'll probably turn it in to the Texas Forest Service and see how it stacks up with the current Texas champion. The current Texas ginkgo champion is in Texarkana, and it's big. It's not nearly as pretty as my tree, but it's got a big old trunk. It's got a larger trunk than mine. The top, the canopy of my tree is probably bigger. And so I'm going to go ahead and maybe taller. I'm going to go ahead and turn it in and just see how the specs stack up against the Champion right now. I'm sure there are much, much bigger ones in other parts of the country. We had one listener that said that they had taken some photographs of the one in Chicago in Oak Park at Frank Lloyd Wright's office and old house. And I never got them. So if you're listening out there, where are my pictures? I wanted to see what it looks like. Maybe he was waiting for the fall color to come up. I think they've had a little controversy there with the fruit. Some of the people in the city have actually wanted it to come down because of the fruit. I don't agree with that at all. Ron, I'll get to you right when we come back, so hang on with me. I'm Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, 866-444-3478. I'll be back.
What if you could be younger and stronger for longer? Many experts agree that regenerative medicine and stem cell therapy is the future of medicine and even your personal health and longevity. So if you or someone you know is suffering from chronic pain or dealing with other health challenges, then stem cell therapy just may be the solution. It's simple, safe, natural, effective, and affordable. So before you operate, before you medicate, now you can regenerate.
I shattered my elbow, was experiencing chronic pain. Nothing seemed to help. I said yes to stem cell therapy, and now I'm pain-free. Range of motion improved, and I'm able to do things I never could have imagined. I have my life back.
To see how stem cell therapy can benefit you, call now for a complimentary consultation, a $200 value. Call 800-705-6006. That's 800-705-6006.
Ladybug Natural manufactures extremely high-quality compost, granular and liquid organic fertilizers, mulches, soil amendments, and the nutrient-rich Magic Sand. All Ladybug products start with the finest all-natural raw materials and have dependable consistency. Ask for Ladybug at garden centers, farm stores, hardware stores, Whole Foods, and other quality retailers. To find a store and for more information, visit ladybugbrand.com.
Learn to live more natural and organic and be healthier by purchasing one of Howard Garrett's best-selling books. His natural organic programs and pest solutions work better in every way and can save you money. You can learn about growing beautiful landscaping and delicious healthy food crops, pet management, and healthy living. Howard's books are useful coast to coast and border to border. You can learn about these top-rated books by clicking on the Howard's Books button on the top of the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. That's DirtDoctor.com.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Prevent those frustrating seasonal symptoms, including sneezing, runny nose, and watery eyes that can spoil your time outdoors by supercharging your immune response right at the source, your digestive tract, where an amazing 70% of your immune cells reside. If your immune system views pollen, animal dander, or wheat as a dangerous invader, it will react by stimulating an inflammatory response and incite all those unpleasant symptoms. What you may not know is that the immune receptor cells residing in your gut all depend on a healthy probiotic population to function at their peak. That's why Dr. Fred Pescatore, a best-selling author on the subject, recommends Dr. O'Hara's probiotics as a top-tier defense in the management of seasonal symptoms. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics delivers live, beneficial bacteria in an easily absorbed formula and is backed by over 25 years of research. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference and enjoy the outdoors again.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit howardgarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insects and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and pathogens are just doing their jobs, trying to take out the unfit plants. Most plant sickness is environmental. Too much water? Maybe not enough water. Too much fertilizer or the wrong kind of fertilizer. Toxic chemical pesticides, the compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting certain plant species, and creating monocultures. The Dirt Doctor's tree health plan is simple. Keep trees in a stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insects and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically: 1. Stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic chemical pesticides. 2. Remove excess soil from the root flare. 3. Apply organic amendments. And 4. Spray trees and soil with Garrett Juice monthly. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, the Dirt Doctor back with you. Telephone number 866-444. What is it? 343478. 866-444-3478. Let's talk to Ron in Cleburne, Texas next. Hey, Ron.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. You know, I've been wanting to start a worm bed because I got the idea that, you know, that's really good. It produces a real good soil for plants.
Sure.
Do you have any recommendations on what kind of worms to use in the Texas area, Cleburne, Texas area? And also, would it be okay to start this in half of a 55-gallon barrel that's split, you know, vertically?
I think that would be a good thing to use. I tell you what I'd probably recommend, since you're not too far from the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's a company called the Texas Worm Ranch. They've got a website.
Oh.
In fact, I think that's the name of it, is texaswormranch.com. Let me look real quick. I think that's it. Anyway, Texas Worm Ranch. They teach classes. And they sell worms, and they sell the highest quality worm castings I've ever seen. And you can learn a lot. I think it'd be worth a visit there, you know, buy some of their stuff, maybe take a class, whatever. But any kind of a container will work, and you just use, you know, raw vegetable material and things from the kitchen and paper. There's a fellow named Jay Mertz who's been in the worm business for years and years and years, and one of his favorite ingredients in the worm bin was newspaper, and he'd roll it up real tightly and then run it through a grinder and shred it. So there's a lot of interesting techniques you can use, but basically you just put a lot of paper and vegetable waste. A lot of people say not to use meats and things like that. I ignore that. I put everything from the kitchen in to the compost piles that I use. But checking out that company first might be a real good shortcut for you. One of the things they taught me was that they're really, really strong on using pumpkins. Pumpkins are just really dessert to worms. And you know, there's a lot of pumpkins around at this time of the year. You know, from Thanksgiving on, people have still some pumpkins around that have gone bad now that would be an excellent thing to use to start your worm beds. But check with them. Right. I know that the red wigglers are not the ones that are recommended the most. The ones that they do recommend, I can't remember the specific name. Any kind of worms that you get going, though, will be fine, especially for a homeowner to use in your own garden.
Okay. All right. Well, I appreciate your information, and we're going to be checking with that website right away.
Yeah, they'll help you. They really know what they're doing. They make a beautiful product.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks, Ron. Call us again. Here's is it Martita in Dallas?
Martita, yes.
That's a pretty name. What do you
Good morning.
What are you doing with an olive tree in Dallas, Texas?
No, I was reading one of Oprah's books, and she said there was one, I guess, the olive that she had for Christmas time that she recommended. And it said she had an olive tree in her house. I said, they grow olive trees in Texas? That's my first question. And my second question is, okay, I have a metal fence where I've had these trees been growing for quite some time, and they prick your hands, okay, and I try to cut them off and try to find some type of way to get rid of the tree, because I've been having them every year to have to cut them back, and they prick my hands. And a third question is, I have three trees that have been in this yard for a long time. I've been here for 30 years, and I see now that the base of the root is, what they're doing is they're turning greenish, kind of greenish and yellow, and the root is kind of bright, get it like it's wet, you know, like it's died. But I see some of the limbs fall off like they're dying off. So there's a possibility these trees are down now because they've been here so long?
Well, it's a possibility, but if the base is turning strange colors, that means that you've got a drainage problem, or the plant's too deep in the ground or something like that. Do you know what kind of trees we're talking about here? Are they hackberries? You said that one of them has thorns on it. Did I understand you right?
Yeah, on the fence, yes. Thorns on, yes. I don't know what they are, but they have thorns.
Do you have a way to send me a digital photograph of these?
Yes, if I didn't cut all of them. I tried to cut them down yesterday, so I kept saying, I should have just taken a picture. And they used to come back out. They come up every year.
Okay. When you get a chance to take a picture of the foliage or the thorns or whatever, send it to me, and I might can give you a little better advice. But the ones that you've already cut down, where the stumps are, if you'll drill holes in the stump, go to the feed store or the hardware store and buy some saltpeter, which is potassium nitrate, and you put that saltpeter into the holes that you've drilled, wet it down, cover it with mulch, and it'll dissolve and completely kill and destroy those stumps, and they won't come back for you. The olive trees will grow in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. There's commercial production of olives down in the southern part of Texas. They'll grow here and do fairly well, but they won't produce any fruit. It's too cold for the fruit, but you'll have the beautiful foliage, and you can make a very health-giving tea from the foliage, the leaves of the olive tree. I forgot to talk about my tea this morning. I'll make a note to do that at the start of the next hour. Martita, if you had something else, I'll put you on hold and we'll chat off the air. But I'll take a quick break and then come back and we'll talk more at 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. Website's dirtdoctor.com.